From the banks of the Colorado River in Lake Mead to the homes and businesses in Southern Nevada, welcome to Water Smarts, the podcast pumping from the heart of Las Vegas, where we engage with the experts who keep the water flowing throughout Southern Nevada. I'm Bronson Mack.
And I'm Crystal Zelke. From how we treat it, deliver it, use it, protect it, and conserve it, the Water Smarts podcast is all about water in Southern Nevada. We hope to make you a little smarter about the one thing that keeps us all connected, water.
Hey, Crystal, how you doing today?
I'm good, Bronson. It's our Thursday, which is our Friday. How's your Thursday going?
You know, my Thursday is rocking and rolling like a typical Thursday does. But, you know, I was looking at the snowpack that we've been seeing here in the Colorado Rockies, which is obviously really important for our water supply. And, we started off pretty strong. But my understanding based on these reports is some of their most recent snow is a little lighter. It's still fluffy, but it doesn't have the same water content in it right now. So this is what all the hydrologists are looking at. This is what a lot of the climatologists, especially here in the West, are looking at and monitoring that snowfall, because that really has huge implications for how much water makes its way into the Colorado River and ultimately into Lake Mead. And of course, you know, we hit a trigger milestone just at the start of this year because of the levels of Lake Mead.
Yeah. So as of 2022, we're now in a federally declared shortage. And that means we've had to take reductions in our water allocation. So, you know, that impacts us here. And so what that means for us is we really have to buckle down now and step up our conservation efforts more than ever before.
No doubt about it. While this shortage that has been declared and is now being implemented here reduces our water availability here in Southern Nevada, it's not something that snuck up on us, something we've been preparing for nearly two decades. It's just the realization that it's here. One of the things that's really interesting is looking back just last year, the snowpack in the Colorado Rockies was above average. I mean, like 120% above average. Yet because of the extended drought conditions that have occurred year over year, the soils are extremely dry. So once that snow melt happened, a lot of that water got absorbed into the soil, didn't make it into the Colorado River system. So we saw once again a year of reduced flows. So you are absolutely right. This is why conservation remains so important for us here in Southern Nevada. And today on the Water Smarts podcast, we have JC Davis, Enterprise Conservation Manager for the Southern Nevada Water Authority. JC, welcome to the Water Smarts podcast.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Well, Crystal and I are really happy to have you here. And I think that our conversation today is going to be of some pretty significant value, especially to the commercial sector here in Southern Nevada. Because just last year, the Nevada legislature passed AB 356, which really is a law that prevents the irrigation of non-functional turf with Colorado River water. And what does that mean? Ultimately, that means that we are going to need to see this non-functional turf that we see at business parks and strip malls and office complexes. We're going to need to see that grass converted over to water smart landscaping or some other type of low water use landscape. JC, the Southern Nevada Water Authority put together a committee to really take a look at the implementation of this new law. And that committee had representatives from a cross-section of the business community and golf courses and resorts. So a lot of our commercial sector was represented in providing recommendations to the SNWA and the SNWA board. But before we talk about kind of implementing this really groundbreaking law, can you just walk us through why this law was passed and what impact it'll have on Southern Nevada's water supply picture?
Oh, sure. I'm happy to. So obviously, your listeners may already be pretty attuned to water issues, but just for those who may not be, we have by a lot the smallest allocation of Colorado River water of any of the seven states that share its flows. We only get 1.8% of the river, and there's nothing we can really do about that. That's just not going to change. Okay. And so we had a pretty small allocation of water in the first place. And then with Lake Mead continuing to drop in elevation because of terrible hydrology over the last couple of decades. In fact, I'm not even sure you can call it a drought anymore. This might be the new normal for the Colorado River. And if so, we've got to prepare for that. Lake Mead has been dropping like somebody pulled the drain plug. And as it got closer to critically low levels, the state said, we really need to reduce the draw on that lake so that we can slow the descent, if you will. And so all of the states that were involved got together and decided how much of a haircut they would take under different elevations. And so as of January 1 of this year, we woke up and had 7 billion gallons less water at our disposal than we used to. Now, for most people, 7 billion gallons is sort of an abstract number and it doesn't really mean anything. But if you think of it a different way, it matters. We're not using all of our allocation right now. And so the rest I would think of as headroom. You've got a certain amount of additional water that you can use until you hit your allocation. Our headroom just got reduced by about a third overnight because of the first phase of shortage. And it's going to get worse in all likelihood. I mean, I've seen all the probability analyses. And the fact is Lake Mead is probably going to continue to drop unless we get really lucky. And as it continues to drop, that haircut for us is going to get a little shorter and a little shorter. So we needed to do some things. Now, the good news is that the community has been really responsive about our call for conservation, if you will. Homeowners have taken out a lot of turf. They are generally being pretty good about complying with the mandatory watering restrictions. But what we've seen through analysis is that the business community and the HOA community and the multifamily apartment complexes, condos, they haven't been nearly as responsive to our call for conservation as homeowners. Homeowners have done a fantastic job. They've really done a great job in terms of taking out their front yards if nobody's ever walking on it. The homeowners have taken out like 70% of what we call non-functional turf, essentially purely ornamental turf. Businesses, HOAs, all that stuff, they've taken out less than a third of theirs. So they're not exactly heeding the call. I know this is a long explanation, but now you fast forward and now we're staring down the barrel of a shortage on the Colorado River. And we said, we have got to find some way to make these non-residential properties step up and do what they should have done a long time ago. I mean, we have been pleading and paying for the last 20 years, and a lot of them have been ignoring us. AB 356 says they can't ignore us anymore. As of the end of 2026, they need to stop watering their grass with our water supply. It's that simple.
So, JC, I'm not sure if you said how much we'll save from this new law, but we expect to save about 9.5 billion gallons a year by taking out the grass at these businesses and throughout the community. That's more water than the Las Vegas Strip resorts use every year. That might come as a surprise to a lot of people because the Strip gets a bad rap. Everybody sees the Bellagio fountains and assumes that they're the biggest water user here in Southern Nevada. So explain to our listeners, especially people that are new to our community, why we save so much water by replacing grass.
If you think about how water is used, everybody tends to think a gallon is a gallon. But that gallon you save when you turn off the faucet as you brush your teeth is different than the gallon you save when you don't irrigate for a day or you turn it down a few minutes. And the reason is this. Almost every drop of water that we use inside, doesn't matter if it's in a hotel room, in a business, or at your house, if it goes down a drain, we capture and recover it with almost 100% efficiency. In the broad sense, our community is like a perpetual motion machine when it comes to water, but only for that indoor portion. When you look around the world, this is a hard concept to explain to a lot of people because there are two cities on the planet that recycle indoor water to this extent. There's us and there's Singapore, and that's where the list ends. So we are in a very unusual situation. We can capture and recover that indoor water. And it's a big deal because what it means is people moving to the valley, for instance, they only have a consumptive water footprint, as we call it. They only impact our water supply to the extent that they are irrigating landscapes or refilling pools. So it's a pretty small number if you don't have grass. We've got these thousands of acres of grass that are still out there. We think our estimates right now, and we're always refining them, are that there are about 4,000 acres of non-functional grass left in the community that aren't in single-family hands. I want to make it very clear that AB 356 doesn't apply to your front yard. If you're a single-family resident, you're going to get a pass on this one because you've done a great job. Ironically, as we've talked about AB 356, our applications for our Water Smart Landscapes program have gone through the roof, both on the commercial side and on the single family residential side, because people are going, oh, we should do something about this. This is serious. The reason it matters is this. If you take a 1 foot by 1 foot square of grass and you irrigate it to keep it alive in this environment, it takes about 73 gallons of water a year to keep that grass alive. That's the equivalent of stacking 10 linear feet on top of that one little patch of grass. If you have a plant that's drip irrigated and that the foliage of that plant can cover that exact same square foot, it uses about 75% less water per year. So every time you replace a square foot of grass with a square foot of some drip irrigated plant, you're buying a 55 gallon barrel full of water for our community. And that's why it's such a big deal.
Wow. So 10 feet of water for a single square foot of grass. I mean, that's a ton of water that it takes in order to keep grass alive here in Southern Nevada. And you also mentioned, JC, about the indoor reuse of water and that water being reclaimed and being returned back to Lake Mead. I think that's probably one reason why we see the non-functional turf here in Southern Nevada using more water than the entire strip. Is that correct?
Yes. And so, again, most of the water used by the large resorts is indoors. They have a moderate amount of landscaping, but not that much. Very little grass. They have, obviously, they have pools and water features and stuff like that, but that which is not irrigated by private groundwater rights, it's a number, but it's not an outrageous number. Actually, the biggest consumptive use of water by resorts is their cooling. People don't think about it because the air conditioner on your roof doesn't use any water. But when you have these big air conditioning units, they have historically used what are called cooling towers. And so we're actually working with them right now to try to get them to convert those cooling towers to more water efficient means of cooling, because that's where they can make the biggest difference.
So despite all the great SNWA conservation programs that we have to help people save water, the fact is conservation progress has stalled some here. AB 356 will help our community make some significant conservation progress. This law is really trendsetting. No one else has done this here in the United States. So technically, it doesn't require, as you mentioned, residents to take out grass in their front yard or backyard, but it will prohibit the use of Colorado River water to irrigate decorative grass in certain areas throughout the community. So now let's just talk about that. What specific types of grass will be prohibited under the new law to be watered by Colorado River water?
It really just applies to grass that is purely ornamental, has no recreational function. There are a lot of rules and they're available on snwa.com. As examples, in a business park, you do not need grass in a business park. The last time I checked, they're not setting up swing sets and spending their lunch out there. Homeowners Association, you know how you ride into the association and they've got those big patches of turf right at the entrance with their big marble signs and stuff. That turf's got to get replaced by drip irrigated landscape. Again, people tend to think that drip irrigated landscape means cactus and cowskull, and it doesn't. I mean, there's some beautiful, lush plants that you can use in a landscape that are every bit as attractive, in fact, in a lot of cases, more attractive than grass. Grass is hard to keep alive here. It does not want to be here, particularly in summer. Basically, when you're watering grass in summer, you're just keeping it on life support. It is not happy at all, and it looks like it. Whereas a lot of drip irrigated plants really thrive in this environment. And so they bring you color, they bring you texture, they bring you a nice canopy. We're big fans of trees. We're not trying to turn the valley into a gravel pit. To the contrary, trees are very, very important to our community, both aesthetically in terms of preventing urban heat island effect. There are a lot of good, valuable reasons to have trees around, and we want people to continue to plant them and to maintain them. But grass, and the only time anybody walks on it is when they're pushing a mower. So you've got your business parks, you've got your HOA entries, and streetscapes. Next time the listeners are driving home, just tell them to peek over to the side and see how many grass strips they see, either next to the sidewalk or between the sidewalk and the curb. You know, and I've gone out and talked to dozens and dozens of property managers and association managers, and I always just tell them, give it the swing set test. If you would not let your little kid play on a swing set on that grass in that spot, it's the wrong choice for the landscape. That's really our focus. A lot of this is where you're driving to work and you see it in business parks. By volume, the majority is in homeowners association streetscapes and entries.
Does your yard need a facelift? Well, if it has grass, then it probably does. Give your yard a little nip and tuck and switch your grass to a beautiful water-smart landscape. You'll cut your water use and save money on your monthly water bill. Get a $3 cash rebate from the Southern Nevada Water Authority for every square foot of grass you convert to drip irrigated plants and shrubs. The cash rebate helps cover the majority of your landscape costs, and you'll look good doing it. Apply for the SNWA Water Smart Landscapes Rebate Program at snwa.com and be the envy of your neighborhood. SNWA is a not-for-profit water agency.
Now, JC, the Southern Nevada Water Authority put together a Citizens Advisory Committee as well to provide some recommendations back to the Southern Nevada Water Authority and its board. Can you talk with our listeners a little bit about that? Like, who comprised that committee and what were the outcomes?
Well, the Water Authority tries to be really inclusive when we make these kind of big picture decisions, right? So we wanted to fully understand the implications of AB 356 on the affected parties. And so we looked at what stakeholders are likely to be affected by the law. So you have business parks and you have homeowners associations, you have apartment complexes, and the list goes on. So what we did is we convened an advisory committee with representatives from all these different sectors to go through and help us with definitions. What is functional turf? What is non-functional turf? If we're going to have functional turf, should we have some rules on it in terms of what's the size, what are the proximity to streets, that kind of stuff? And so they helped us through that process. And in the end, they were unanimous in their recommendations. And as you know, in today's environment, it's hard to get people to agree on a lunch order, much less a big policy like this. So we feel really good about the foundation of the policy because it is grounded in citizen input.
JC, and there's a deadline associated with these specific property owners getting rid of their non-functional grass. That's correct, right?
So the deadline for getting rid of their non-functional grass is going to be December 31st, 2026. So as of January 1, 2027, the SNWA and its member agencies can no longer use our municipal water supply to irrigate non-functional turf areas.
And that's by law. You won't be able to use Colorado River water to irrigate non-functional turf by state law, correct?
That is a state law. And again, it prohibits the SNWA member agencies that deliver water to customers from actually using water for that purpose.
So, JC, let's say I'm a business owner or I represent my HOA community board, and I think there's an area of grass that should be exempt from this law. What do I do? What's the process?
So the recommendations from the advisory committee were only recently adopted by the SNWA Board of Directors. And so we needed to wait until that was finalized. Right now, we are in the process of developing all of the elements associated with the waiver. So that would be the process. How do you apply for a waiver? And what happens after that? What are the steps? And then secondarily, what are the criteria to determine whether a waiver is going to be granted or not? I would anticipate that those things will be done by the beginning of spring. The one thing I am sure about right now is that the waiver application process will be online through snwa.com.
So at this point, businesses, HOAs, apartment, condo complexes all have about 4 years to replace this grass at their properties. The SNWA currently offers a rebate of up to $3 per square foot to help pay for those conversions. Tell us about the Water Smarts Landscape rebate and how these property owners can apply for it.
Well, Water Smart Landscapes, and it's been around for decades now, is an incentive program where we pay $3 per square foot for the first 10,000 square feet, and then $1.50 thereafter with no cap, unlimited, for properties that want to replace their grass with drip irrigated landscapes. There are a few rules, but they are not onerous. It's not a hard program to complete, and it's not hard to comply with. In terms of the time frame, because I think this is fairly important, I would strongly encourage the businesses and HOAs who know that they are going to have to replace non-functional turf to do so sooner than later. And not just for the good of the community's water supply, for their own good. The laws of supply and demand dictate is that we get closer to that deadline. The cost for the landscaping services to make the replacement, the cost for the materials are almost certain to go up. Not because of anything we did, but because of the laws of economics. That's just how it works in a marketplace. And so they do not want to be the last ones on the bus because that ticket's going to be really expensive for them. I've actually talked to a few HOAs, and they were talking about essentially waiting us out, thinking that somehow our incentive was going to increase as we got closer to the deadline. I can guarantee you that it's not going to increase as we get closer to the deadline. And in fact, it may decrease as we get closer to the deadline. So I would strongly suggest to people that they act early because they're not going to get any more money, and they could end up getting less money. And they will certainly end up paying more. And we don't want to see that happen for them.
Well, act now and act fast in order to take advantage of those incentives that you referenced, JC. But just give us a little more detail. What do those incentives consist of?
So we are paying $3 per square foot for the first 10,000 square feet, and then $1.50 per square foot thereafter. And we've actually removed the cap, knowing that a lot of homeowners associations and other properties have large volumes. They can take advantage of economies of scale and get all of the money for their full conversion.
So, JC, for these commercial property owners, what's their next step?
I would really encourage, whether they're commercial or HOA or an apartment complex, if they're a property manager, the first thing you need to do is either email us at cashincentives@snwa.com. Go to the website at snwa.com. There's a contact form there. Or call us on the phone at 702-862-3740. Do one of those things and reach out. It doesn't obligate you to anything. But if you let us know about your property, let's say you're a homeowners association and you think some of your grass may be viewed as non-functional while other parts might be functional, then call us or reach out by email, and we'll actually map it out and tell you which portions of your property are going to be subject to AB 356 so you can plan ahead. You don't have to call right when you're getting ready to do a thing. Just call us so that we can get your property mapped and so we can tell you what the incentive would look like, and you can calculate what the project would look like. We can connect you with water smart contractors that specialize in this kind of work. And that way you're not doing stuff at the last minute. So reach out as soon as you reasonably can. As it is, we're already seeing significant increases in volume for those kind of appointments. It's never too early to get on that list so that we can get you all set up so that when the time does come and you're ready to move, everything's already in place.
Well, conservation is not just on the residents. It's not just on the commercial sector. It's not just on the resorts. It is all of us together here in Southern Nevada, working together, all of us doing our part in order to save water. Before we let you go, JC, we got to ask you, give our listeners just a couple other water saving tips that they can take with them into their personal lives.
Well, the tips I would offer for residents are, first, convert your unused areas. I mean, again, it's going to look better. It's going to save you money on your summer water bill. It's less maintenance, substantially less maintenance for drip irrigated landscape than it is for grass. And then maybe most importantly, if you're a resident and you're like, nah, I still like looking at my lawn on the way into the garage. Okay, fine. And again, AB 356 doesn't apply to your front lawn. Keep on driving by it if that's what you want to do. However, it is very, very important that you follow the mandatory watering restrictions. One day a week in winter, 3 days a week in spring and fall, 6 days a week, never on Sunday, during summer. All of the agencies in Southern Nevada are significantly stepping up enforcement of these mandatory watering restrictions. look, we don't want to fine you. We're not after the money. We want you to follow the rules, because I don't think people realize every time the community shuts off their sprinklers on a rainy day, or they don't water on Sunday, that's hundreds of millions of gallons of water a day just by them doing one simple thing that just is common sense.
Well, JC, those are all good water saving tips. Appreciate you sharing those with our listeners. If you are a commercial property owner, if you are on an HOA board, or if you are part of a multifamily housing complex and you've got grass in your property, there is highly likely that you are going to be subject to the requirements of AB 356, and you're going to need to start taking some steps and making some plans to replace that grass with drip irrigated landscaping. JC Davis, the Enterprise Conservation Manager for the Southern Nevada Water Authority, thank you so much for joining us today here on Water Smarts.
Oh, it was absolutely my pleasure.
The Water Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Southern Nevada Water Authority, which reminds you to follow the mandatory seasonal watering restrictions. It's the law. You can find your assigned watering days on snwa.com. You also can find landscape tips and rebates to help you save water and save money.
One of those rebates is the WaterSmart Landscapes rebate, which pays property owners up to $3 a square foot to remove useless grass and replace it with WaterSmart landscaping. As we heard from JC, taking out our community's water-thirsty grass and replacing it with WaterSmart landscaping saves water and protects our long-term water resources. And for businesses, it's now the law. Decorative grass needs to be replaced by December 31st of 2026.
You can apply for the landscape rebate at snwa.com. The website also has tips and tools to help you plan your landscape upgrade. You can look up WaterSmart plants and create shopping lists with the plant search tool. The website also has tips for designing your own landscape or how to hire a landscape contractor. Check out all the great landscape and conservation resources on snwa.com.
Well, Crystal, another good episode there. Really appreciative to have JC on and talk a little bit about this new law and really what it means for commercial customers.
JC's always fun to talk to because he really breaks it down. And, you know, we get stuck in our language sometimes and how we say things when we're just talking, you know, inside our organization. But JC has a way of just really breaking everything down so that you can understand it in bite-sized pieces. So I appreciate that on, you know, a pretty complex issue and new law that we're embarking on here.
Yeah, you know, and it has implications for HOAs, for multifamily residential, for, you know, like I said, those commercial customers. So if you want more information on this new law, make sure you visit snwa.com. Well, that's it for this episode of Water Smarts. We hope that you subscribe and listen next time. If you have a question for us, feel free to email us at watersmarts@snwa.com. You can also visit our website at snwa.com and reach us there. We'll make sure to get back to you with an answer, and we might even have your question on our next podcast. Well, thanks so much, and we'll see you here next time on Water Smarts.